Coming to you since 1997 on KKUP Radio with over 250 guests and still going strong in their 12th year of weekly broadcasting, the International Taz and Paula Show brings to you expansive, engaging, and groundbreaking intensity on radio and now on the internet airwaves today. Listen live every Thursday or visit Embracing Mother Earth's archives, exclusive articles, ask questions, and receive actual answers from guests anytime at TazandPaulaShow.com. Taz and Paula's special guests are experts coming from all walks of life, energizing our lives with a passion that inspires and teaches us with each of their compelling personal life journeys, with roots from ancient wisdom and bridging it with modern science. We hope today's show touches the wisdom of your heart. And now, Taz and Paula.
These next few days look like they're going to be sizzlers, April 8th, 9th, 10th, and 11th. And who do we call on for the latest in astrology updates? Well, it's Mahala Gale. She's back with us, and she's bringing in a depth look at and what's on the horizon for the following: Japan and the birthing aspect of Mother Earth, which is the ascension process, planetary aspects and how they affect the world, the time of fire, the fire initiation, and much more. You are now listening to the International Taz and Paula Show, and I'm Paula.
And I'm Taz. Hang on to your hats, folks. Are you getting the feeling that our planet is firing up for some action? Well, we are going to find out. Today, Mahala Gale will also be discussing with us the salmon-colored light that is in the sacred parts of our heart. It is who we are, she says, and Earth changes and more to come, and what's taking place. Boy, they're happening a lot faster than we want to look at, I think. Revolution in North Africa and the Middle East and how it is symbolic of the Moses story. Our guest is an astrologer, writer, lecturer, minister, one of the founders of Asclepius Light Center, the editor of Asclepius Light Center newsletter since 1988, and writer-editor of the Planet Alert articles. She has studied the science of astrology since the early 1980s, which has allowed her to become an expert in mundane astrology, the study of world events.
Mahala has also extensively studied the book of Revelation in the Bible. From that study, she has been able to correlate the Bible in its relationship with the stars. After watching the predicted events transpire one after another, she has come to the conclusion that there is a master plan in action and a path to understanding what master plan is through astrology. In fact, there is so much evidence that astrology is a path to understanding this master plan, and it's best demonstrated by the history of Jesus, as the science of astrology was held in the high esteem during his time. And you may or may not know that the wise men, called the Magi, who visited Jesus shortly after his birth, were also known as astrologers. And Mahala has appeared on many local TV programs discussing this topic in depth. Well, Mahala, you are certainly a breath of fresh air, and we are so excited to have you back again. Welcome.
Oh, thank you. I'm here.
Well, the Earth seems to be letting us know she's here too today. I'll tell you.
Yes. We could start out talking about what happened today.
Yeah, let's do.
The poor people in Japan.
I know it. I have like a world map on my wall in my office. And so all I have to do is look at the planets and see where the events will transpire, because I put these little colored balls on for the different planets and over the areas. And so it doesn't surprise me that Japan, I mean, it will keep getting it because it's the contractions of the birth. And so, you know, like right now there's three planets over it, you know, Chiron, Neptune, and Venus. And so it's right there. And so they came out with, first they came out and said there was a 7-point quake in northern Japan today. And then the next time I heard it, they had changed it to 7.1. So they have a habit of doing that. So don't know exactly what they're, naming it as. But also on Veracruz, Mexico, and that's just off of the Gulf Coast down in Mexico, they had a 6.5 today.
Yeah.
And so there are quakes just going on all over the place. And another interesting thing is, like, my husband gets up and turns on the news in the morning to see what's going on, and they're talking, of course, about the government shutting down. And what I find is so interesting is that, like, on the new moon of April 3rd, Saturn was on 13 degrees Libra, Jupiter was on 13 degrees Aries, and the middle of that is Cancer, at 13 degrees Cancer. So where does 13 degree Cancer tune into? It's Washington, D.C. And so Jupiter rules the Republicans, you know, big business and big money and stuff like that, and Saturn rules the Democrats. And so when Jupiter and Saturn are exactly opposing each other, it's like a push-pull type of a thing. And so, and nobody wins with that either. So that's what's going on in our government right now. You know, it's a push-pull thing. And it's also it shows us real clearly how the polarity Earth works. Because if you're going to fight each other, nothing works right. In order for things to flow smoothly, everyone has to work together. And so until they can get to the point where they can work together, you know, there'll be a lot of challenges. And so if we start to see our government, you know, working together, then we know that we've made it into the oneness energy. But so far we haven't.
Do we see any kind of window that's open, I mean, like planetary-wise, that this could take place?
Well, it depends on what frequency people are manifesting at. Well, what we could do, you know, to maybe accelerate the process of getting our government together is if enough people started seeing the sending good energy to them, like focusing on our government working together, you know, and getting things done and being happy, you know, and stuff like that. Because wherever if we get our combined thoughts together, we can create what we choose to experience. And so I kind of think it's up to us, you know, to think what we think and then create what we want to create. And so right now, you know, it's still in the polarity. So I'm kind of anxious to see how this whole event works out, you know.
Now,
and
excuse me. Do you look in the past, because this happened before in the 90s, our government closed down.
Yes, I think it wasn't in 95. And I heard that they had lost billions of dollars. And no, I haven't had time to look at that particular process, you know, because I just thought about this morning that, this new moon, you know, the midpoint of it is 13 Cancer. And so then it came, no wonder this process is going on of the two sides arguing. And so I'm kind of anxious to see how it's all going to turn out, you know, because I don't really know how it's going to turn out. But it doesn't seem like they could shut the government down for very long. And another thought came to me, is that maybe this is a process that's supposed to happen. You know, sometimes when you stop something and then you restart it, it comes out different just from the process of stopping it.
Like resetting your computer.
yes, that's right. Yeah, because I do that with my computer a lot. If it doesn't work right, I unplug it, and in the morning I'll plug it back in, and it'll be fine. You know, so I was thinking, I wonder if that's going on. You know, so I was wondering if we actually do have to stop it to reset it.
Wow.
And another thing is that I don't know if people know, but our government, you know, was set up on July 4th on 13 degrees Cancer. And so then 13 degrees Cancer lines up with the star Sirius, which is such an important star in our solar system, you know, because it's the closest one to us. and it's the brightest one. And so we're right under the energy of the Sirius star. And so this and Sirius, you know, like, rules the pyramids, like in the Egypt and the Nile. They always wait for when Sirius rises in the summer, you know, to start their new year, which starts, in the sign of Leo. And so I think that this is really important because I think it ties into going back to last fall when I was at the workshop of Tom Kenyon and we opened up the pyramid and the Sphinx in Egypt. And so I think that this is all tying together with what is going on right now.
Wow. Yeah. Well, that's really interesting that you opened that up. Can you share a little bit about that to our listener audience?
You mean about the workshop and the Tom Kenyon?
About opening, yeah.
Open yeah, up. Okay. Yeah, okay. So those that haven't heard about it, last Halloween, Tom Kenyon put on this workshop to open the pyramids by sound through toning. And he's a master toner. And it's really awesome to be there. And so there were 500 of us gathered down the hill from my house on top of a stargate, focusing into, first of all, opening the pineal gland in our head and opening our heart chakra. Because opening the heart chakra is the most important thing that we need to do right now and flow from our heart instead of from our mind. And so on Sunday afternoon on Halloween, which the stargates in my close to my house automatically open on Halloween because of the planetary aspects, and so there we were, five of us toning at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and 500,000 of us joined together on the computer. And so that was a very awesome event. And so, right after that, so we opened the pyramids, you know, and the Sphinx. And so right after that, there was an earthquake that happened right there. You know, it was about a 5 or 6 point. It was really close. It didn't do any damage. It was just off the Gulf Coast there in the Suez. And so I thought, wow, that really, really worked. And then on the full moon of February, they had were about the Leo thing, where the full moon was in Aquarius Leo, and so that is Leo is the lion, and so that indicates another opening process of the pyramids and the Sphinx over there, and so now I'm waiting for them to come up with some new records that. But I noticed that they did come up with the 70. Scrolls that they found in Jordan, and I think that this is really interesting. So I'm curious to see what all will come out, what kind of information will come out from the finding of those 70 scrolls. And so, of course, Jordan is really close to the pyramids. I mean, the whole Middle East there, you know, it's all centered together. But with the birthing process, now this is really important because you know, like where Japan is located. So like in December 21st, when we went through the magnetic shift, where I think it was a 10-degree shift, you know, and the North Magnetic Pole had been moving since 1998, and it was slowly crossing the ocean over to Siberia. And so at that time, of course, there was on the airport in Florida, they closed it down until January 13th because they had to change all of their markings and everything for the way the airplanes came in using the magnetic like they do. And at the same time, in Surgut, Siberia, a plane actually crashed because their plane is older than our planes and it couldn't handle the energy from the magnetic pole moving over into their area. And so this kind of set up the real beginning of the birthing process. And so within in Japan, let me backtrack here. Mercury's retrograde. So forget some things here. At the solstice, the December 21st, when the earth shook from December 21st to December 25th, this is at the time when we ended the 26,000-year cycle of Capricorn, and we went into the sign of Aquarius. And so if I look at my map here, that's exactly what Japan is under. It's under the sign of Aquarius. So I thought, oh, well, this is just logical that the birthing process would start in Japan. And so it started with like a 150-mile rip in the earth that was 50 miles wide. And that's like the cervix opening and then the water pouring out. And so it was definitely a birthing process. And so with a birth, there's always a continuation of, you know, the contractions. They start and then the contractions get, you know, harder and harder. Hopefully they won't get that much harder, but I think that there's a couple more large earthquakes coming here too, aside from the one today. I'm speaking about like 8 point, you know, or maybe 8+. And you in California might get usually a small one, because like when there's an earthquake in Japan, because if you look straight from Japan over to the West Coast, you know, from California up to Oregon, it goes directly over, but it's usually a smaller one, you know, like 4.5 or something like that. But there's usually always one that happens. And then with the Japan earthquake, we have another thing that people really need to be aware of, I think, and that's the comet that they call Elenin. And that's because I had gotten an email a couple of weeks before the Japanese earthquake happened saying that we were going through one of the node points of this comet, and that it was with the planets lining up, and that they were looking for a major event on March 15th. Well, it happened 4 days earlier on March 11th. And so now we still have the comet, which is actually a brown dwarf star. And I think it is what's called our black sun, because just like our moon has a black moon and our sun has a black sun that orbits around it. And several years ago, I had heard that the astronomers had found this, what they were calling planet, comet, whatever, that they called Nemesis. And that's Nemesis is what the companion of our sun is called. And they said that it would be here in 2012. And then they went ahead and they recalculated, and then they came out and said, no, it's not going to be here until 2020. Well, I think that their first calculation was right, because it's here now. And so it's going to be at its closest point to Earth this fall. And so between now and November, there's going to be all kinds of Earth changes. And so we really need to be prepared for these Earth changes, you know, by staying calm, you know, cool, calm, and collected, so we can help balance the Earth as she goes through her birthing ascension process. And then we also have the Easter season coming up, you know, Passover and Easter. And so when they first started having the revolution in Egypt, or started with Tunisia, actually, and then it went into Egypt, and I thought, oh, my God, this is talking about, like in the Moses drama, it says that, you know, the people go to the king of Egypt and said, let us free. You know, we want to be free. And I thought, oh, wow, this is Uranus and Aries cycle that we're going in, that we are in right now. And that's for freedom, you know. And everyone wants to be freedom. So this drama that's going on is symbolic of not just the Middle East, but the whole world, you know, the cry for freedom. And then,
You're talking about Uranus, and so Uranus is like the unexpected, and Aries, which is the strong, kind of like the, you know, the ram.
Right, the fire sign.
Yeah, it just kind of takes over, and so it's a real powerful time. My gosh.
Oh, it's extremely powerful, and we are in the time of fire.
Fire.
And this goes on for 7 years.
when I was in Mexico, I heard a Mayan talk, and they were talking about another sun coming in.
Uh-huh.
So this goes right along with what you're saying.
Yes, yes, right, yeah, yeah. And I don't know, you know, like when I talk about the dark moon, a lot of people don't know that we have a dark moon, but they have taken pictures of it, but the only time that they've been able to see it is when it's in front of our sun. And then they take, you know, taking pictures of it, and it appears as a red ball when it's in front of our sun, but it's technically called the dark moon. And so that it takes 10 days to go through one sign. And so then, of course, astrologers got together and made an ephemeris of it so we can tell where it is right now. And so I've kept up on that. And so right now the dark moon is in Gemini, and it's getting ready to cross from Gemini to Cancer, which is all over the Midwest. And being that we're in the time of fire, there's already fires burning in Texas and in New Mexico. And not too long ago, they were burning in Colorado. And so we have a lot of fire events coming up with this time of fire. And it will be, it's really accentuated it right now because the node, which is very, very important in a person's chart or in the world chart, is exactly lined up with the galactic center right now, which is 28 Sag. And so that is where it is. And so with that lined up, where that focuses into the map is like right down where the New Madrid Fault goes, you know. And I've been thinking, oh, man, they're going to have an earthquake there, which it still might be on the agenda. But it's been mainly storm energy that has come in there. And so every time there is an activation of that particular aspect, then a storm comes through the Midwest. But the node will be in the sign of fire for over a year. It takes a year and a half for it to go through each sign. And so it's been there for a couple months. And so we still have, you know, like about a year and 4 months for it to be going through the sign of fire. And so fire will be dominant for the next, you know, a little over a year. And so that's why I say that we're definitely in the time of fire right now. And along with the fire, of course, goes the water, because Neptune just moved into Pisces, which is a water sign. And the reason that we've had so many water events, storms, flooding and everything, was because the planet Uranus was in Pisces, you know, for 7 years. And right shortly after it went into Pisces, we had the first tsunami in Indonesia. And so it kind of started with a big tsunami and ended with a big tsunami. And so now, of course, Uranus, the planet of change, is in Aries. Back to the revolution in the Middle East. We have, you know, like with Easter coming up, and Easter is the celebration of ascension, basically. And then also the Passover celebration. And so I'm wondering how this will turn out, or if it will turn out, or what, you know, because, I mean, you know, because it's just symbolic of the Moses thing with let our people go, you know. But if it does, there might be some kind of event over in the Middle East, because after the people are let go, then the Red Sea parts, you know. And I don't know if it's symbolic of that, or maybe it was symbolic of the whole world, and it caused a Japanese earthquake to happen with the sea parting. Yeah, I just thought about that one.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well,
but the main energy is focused, you know, over the Middle East, because that's where the Saturn, Jupiter Saturn, pulls into, and then it also pulls into. On our side of the world and the Pacific Ocean, if you look where Hawaii is, and above that's Alaska, and then down below us is the islands of Fiji and Samoa, you know, stuff like that. And in my last article, you know, I said that there would be possible earthquakes in Fiji, the Philippines, Indonesia, and possibly events in Hawaii and Alaska. Well, the ones in Fiji and Indonesia, there was a 7.1 in Indonesia and a 6.4 in Fiji. And but the planets have been on a lower latitude. And so now the moon is moving up. And so the moon is moving into its farthest place north. And so that's like Japan. Japan, where the tsunami happened, was 38 north latitude. And so, like, today when it happened, the moon was between 38 and 40 north longitude. And I find that really interesting. But as the planets move closer into the coast, you know, because they keep moving all the time. I mean, Uranus will be stay in Aries, you know, but the other planets, you know, like Jupiter moves. Jupiter goes into Taurus, and I'm not too happy about that coming over the coast before too long. And then the fast-moving planets like the Sun, Mercury, Venus, and Mars, they'll all be moving over the West Coast before too long. And so then there'll be a lot of energy over us.
What does that mean?
That means that when planets are over you, there's possible Earth changes.
Okay, I know what I mean is there a date that you can see where this will more than likely take place?
Probably in May or June.
Okay, that's what we need to know.
Yeah, as the sun moves to Taurus, because Taurus is from April 20th to May 20th. You know, and then Gemini, you know, goes from May 20th to June 20th. Mm-hmm. And so that's the time when there will be a lot of activation on, and then with Mars, like Mars is in Aries right now, you know, so it's still, and that's a very cool planet, and because Mars rules Aries, there's a lot of the fire stuff going on and tempers, people's tempers flare. Because, you know, that's what Mars rules, you know, like war and violence. And so most of that, you know, is being focused over the Middle East, or the North Africa, I should say, and the Middle East, because they're, you know, rioting all over the place over there. And so that's very powerful. And in, I think it stays there like the rest of this month and in part of May, and then Mars will be moving over the coast too. I'm really kind of concerned about Mexico. I mean, they did have their quake today, but Popo, the volcano just outside of Mexico City, that has started steaming. And so, you know, there could be some activity there as the planets go over us. And so, like, I'd have to look ahead, you know, which I haven't done yet, to see what latitude it comes in on, you know, to know where the most possible aspect would be for it to happen. But I don't know, a lot of people have been predicting, you know, major quakes for the coast for a long time. And I think, well, I live in Seattle here, you know, and I've never been really concerned about it. Well, in the first place, I've lived through a 7-point quake and didn't really have any damage, or, you know, no one was killed in it or anything. And so I think that at least up here, so far we've been protected. And so I think it's been the same with California and Oregon, you know. It's been protected. And so, but I don't know if there's a time where something, you know, has to happen there. That I really don't know, you know. I just know the possibilities of the things that can happen.
What about San Diego down by Mexico?
Yes, and they've already had, I mean, they had, I have a friend who lives down on the border, right on the other side in Mexico, and she was in the 7-point quake they had there last Easter, you know, and she was fine, and it wasn't that bad as far as damage went. I mean, her house was fine and everything, and she was right there where it happened, you know? So I think that the most important thing is to be out of fear, and that wherever a person is, they will be protected, you know, because there's a difference because the earth is splitting, and there's a difference between the lower vibration and the higher vibration. And when you're in the higher vibration, you know, something can be happening on the lower, And you can be there, but it won't affect you. And so this is what I've been trying to, this is what I've been pushing for such a long time, is for people to release all of their shadow side so that they can get into being a pure being of light, so that when we go through these dramatic earth changes that are happening, they can get through it okay. Because we're all needed to set up the new earth, new heaven and the new earth, which is, will manifest, you know, shortly after the cleansing of the old earth. And so I'm really excited about the new earth coming in, because that will be wonderful, being I've seen a vision of it, you know. And so, but, and then there's different things, too, because there's like, I don't know if you've heard about this person that is named Peter D-E-U-N-O-F, Dunoff, I think, or Duno, the way it's pronounced. He was a pretty famous psychic, and he lived from 1864 to 1944. And at that time, he was a being of very high level of consciousness. And so he made prophecies that would come true right now during the time of fire. Because this is what he said in the email I received. It said, and this is, think about it as right now. It says, a gradual improvement is already occurring in the thoughts, sentiments, and acts of humans, but everybody will soon be subjugated to divine fire that will purify and prepare them in regards to the new era. Thus man will raise himself to a superior degree of consciousness, indispensable to his interest to the new life. That is what one understands by ascension. Some decades will pass before this fire will come, and remember this is written in 1944, that will transform the world by bringing it a new morale. This immense wave comes from cosmic space and will inundate the entire earth. All those that attempt to oppose it will be carried off and transferred elsewhere. Although the inhabitants of this planet do not all find themselves at the same degree of evolution, the new wave will be felt by each one of us, and this transformation will not only touch the earth, but the ensemble of the entire cosmos. The best and only thing that man can do now is to turn towards God and improve himself consciously, to elevate his vibratory level so as to find himself in harmony with the powerful wave that will soon submerge him. The fire of which I speak that accompanies the new conditions offered to our planet will rejuvenate, purify, reconstruct everything. The matter will be refined. Your hearts will be liberated from anguish, troubles, and they will become luminous. Everything will be improved, elevated. The thoughts, sentiments, and negative acts will be consumed and destroyed. And so we have just entered this time period of the time of fire. And the wave is already here. Some people are hearing it. It's coming in as a tone and a color. And I have this book that was written by Michelle Henley and Kevin Henley, and it's called A Time of Fire. And in there, and this was, she's been channeling Mother Mary. And so what she says in here, traumas around love block the heart chakra. You have to clear the heart chakra completely in human and divine love, and then go into the hidden chamber of the sacred heart. There you become God, and God becomes you. Teach people what you know about light and visualization. Teach them about the light coming into the heart chakra and opening it up. It is a salmon-colored light or fire in the heart. It is what I am. It is what Jesus is. It is what God is. It is cosmic love. And then I had gotten a message, a psychic that came to our church in January of 2005. Well, he was giving a message for the whole church, and he says that there is this orange, salmon-colored light that is coming in from the galaxy, and it's coming in to bring in love and happiness and fun. And so that started way back in January 30th of 2005. And that was right after the tsunami happened in 2004. And so I had just reread, I was I was impressed to get out this book and to reread that part of the book. And then the next day in the mail, this is so interesting. I love when synchronicity things happen. I got this picture in the mail of this goddess standing in like an archway, and the archway is all salmon colored, and it looks like flames of fire coming out from it. And then in the middle of the archway, here stands the goddess with this salmon colored gown on, and the rest of it is gold and white. And so I thought, wow, this is so interesting, you know, that I would get that right after I had read about the salmon-colored light. And so I think that is very important right now, if people can visualize it. It's kind of like a light orange with pink in it, you know, is the best way I could explain it.
You know, it's interesting, over the last two or three days, that energy of that color must be coming into the planet big time. I'm feeling that color myself as I'm breathing in and everything. It's almost as if, you know, God has placed his hand on us or something. It's just amazing. I mean, I feel it.
It's like divine intervention.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's the feminine, and as you say, it's the goddess. It's the feminine energy.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, it's beautiful.
And that's so exciting. So if more people would start breathing in, you know, this colored light and bring it in and bring it into heart chakra and bring it into their body, I mean, I think that this will elevate people, you know, like right now.
Yeah, it's almost like the goddess is hugging and loving us. It's just amazing.
Right, yeah. So that's really exciting because I just love that color.
Yeah,
me too. It was popular, like, in the stores, right after I had been given that message, you know. And so I was in the store, and I saw this, well, I kind of call it tangerine color, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so I saw this tangerine blouse, and I thought, oh, man, that's the exact color. I just love it. So, of course, I had to have it for the color, you know, so I have a visual to look at all the time.
It's funny. I just bought a blouse that color, too.
Really. So it's always nice to have a visual, you know, so you can have it right there in your visual, you know, type of thing. And then there's also, you know, like the diamond heart, too, because I talked in my last article about how Neptune rules diamonds. And so Neptune, on April 4th, I made a typo in my article. I said the 5th, but it's technically the April 4th, went into Pisces. It's in its own sign, because that's what Neptune rules is Pisces. And so Neptune, I think this is really important for people to know too, that Neptune, in my understanding, it was the first planet created in our solar system, and it is the feminine goddess. You know, it's a higher vibration, it's a feminine planet, it's a magnetic planet, and it's a higher vibration of Venus. And Venus has always been considered, you know, the goddess, but Neptune is a higher manifestation of the goddess. And so Neptune, for the last 14 years, has been going through the male sign of Aquarius. And so this, of course, caused a lot of different trauma, where things had to be cleared out so we could move into the age where Neptune goes through Pisces. And so it's like we had to become the crystal clear diamonds, you know, for that to happen. Or either you could think of either a crystal or a diamond, you know. I think a diamond's a little harder than a crystal.
Yeah, how about a pink diamond?
Oh, that's a real good visual, too.
Yeah,
yes.
A salmon-colored pink diamond, yeah.
Right. Oh, that would be gorgeous. I haven't seen one like that. Have you?
I've seen pink diamonds. There's actually a stone. I forget what it's called. It's just beautiful. You know,
uh-huh.
You can just see the sparkles off, you know, off of the diamond. It's just beautiful.
Uh-huh. Well, if I find one, I will manifest getting it. I would love to have a stone that color.
Yeah, but we can imagine it being inside our heart or something, you know. Just,
oh, right. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah,
right,
it just magnifies everything that you're feeling.
It does. It does.
I think we have a caller that has a question. Let me see.
Okay.
Want to ask questions. caller from area code 310. Do you have a question for Mahala? 310-393. Hello? I guess not. They had their little hand up.
I guess we get a chance to continue talking then. Yeah. But anyways, the scientist, or this man who is a physicist, and he was making the scientific thing of how Neptune works, you know. And so he did this as an experiment, and he found out that it goes from coal to diamond. And so that's like what our body is going to, you know, because our bodies have been carbon-based. And so they go from carbon-based to crystal-based, you know, or diamond-based, whatever you want to call it. And so that's what we've been doing big time for the last 14 years. And so now we're ready to manifest the diamond energy, or the crystal clear. And I think that is so exciting. And I think
would that be our light body?
Yes. Oh, definitely. Yes. 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 It's our light bodies. Yep. I think they call it the Ba or the Ka. Yeah. And so that's the most important thing, you know, because everything happens on the astral first, you know, it goes from the astral down to the physical. And so we've been working on our light bodies for a long time. And so maybe, okay, because I keep thinking that there's going to be a big event on Easter. You know, and I don't know quite what it is. But Easter does rule ascension, and so maybe this is a turning point in the manifestation of our light bodies.
Mm-hmm. We can slip into it gently.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Okay. And so maybe we'll feel stronger and stronger effects from this a fire energy, you know, because a lot of people have been saying, oh, the wave is here, you know, the wave is here. And so they're feeling it. A lot of people are feeling it, you know, so it is very powerful. And that can change a whole lot of things. And then with the nemesis or the comet, whatever you want to call it, being at the closest point this fall, I mean, that's we're in some very, very extremely powerful time periods. And so I'm sure that there's going to be a couple more large earthquakes. And so we just have to, you know, vibrate to that. And it depends on where the planets are, where they happen, you know. And so I guess we'll see how that goes on. And there'll probably be more in Japan, too, because that Japan is actually sinking.
Yeah, it's going to say it's surrounded by water all the way around.
Right.
God.
Yeah. Yeah, and so in you know, some of Edgar Cayce prophecies, they talked about Japan actually going down, you know. Well, I don't know how far it would sink, but it has started to sink, and it's not really good for the large earthquakes, you know, to happen. Because it's interesting, too, with Neptune being over Japan, you know, like when the earthquake happened and being in Pisces, you know, just right before it moved into Pisces, and so it was right on the cusp between it, and it rules oceans and water, and so for that huge tidal wave to happen. And it also reset the Earth, and it moved Japan 8 feet. But then the one in Chile, which was in February of 2010, that moved the Earth 3 degrees. And so we're in the process of the Earth actually moving. I mean, the pole moving, you know, not just the magnetic pole. Because the magnetic pole can move with not a lot of reaction, you know, because it's been going on since 1998, you know, crossing the ocean. And we have seen action, but not like we have in the Chile earthquake or in this Japanese earthquake, where it actually... Oh, and then the tsunami, like in 2004, I think that moved the Earth, too. And so... Oh, this is, you know, the Bible talks about a 7-year period, you know, of lots of tribulation. And so I thought, well, wow, maybe I thought it started with the war in 2003, you know, because there was a 7-year war cycle, went from 2003 to 2010. And then, of course, the revolution started after that. But if you take from on December of 2004 to December of 2011, that's a 7-year time period. And with the comet being closest this fall, you know, we might be at the ending of the major. Instead of 2012, it might be 2011. We might be through the major part of the Earth changes. That would be kind of nice.
Yeah, I heard. I forget where I heard it from, but I did hear that 2011 would be, the Earth changes are worse in 2011 than in 2012.
Uh huh. They sure have been so far.
Yes.
But also with this fire, it's a time of initiation too. You know, and different people go through different initiations at different time periods. And so I have a book by White Eagle called The Path of the Soul. And in this, he talks about the four different initiations, because there's fire, earth, air, and water. And the fire initiation is, I'll just read a little paragraph in here. It says, how can I become free? How can I see, move in a world of spirit? No matter how hard I struggle, I cannot break my bonds. The reason for this state of bondage is that they are still striving through reason and logic to find their way out. This they will never do. Perhaps it sounds too homely when we say that the way to release yourself from bondage is through simple love. But this is the truth. And so this goes along with the fire, time of fire that we're in right now, too. And so instead of like the people are fighting for freedom now, you know, and so if the fighting stops, and if something causes, like the divine interventions, stops the whole fighting, you know, like by this wave coming in or something, you know, then the world can be free. But the world can't be free from bondage until we're ready to let love into our heart and manifest from our heart chakra. And I was watching a video just a couple of days ago, and it talked about the heart chakra, and this is like on a scientific level, and they have found out that the heart, the brain in the heart is much more powerful than the brain in our head. And so we have three different brains in our body. It's in the head, the heart, and the solar plexus. And the solar plexus is the power part. And the heart is, of course, the love and living in the new age, and then the brain. Okay, so like the mind, like the fourth dimension has been like the mind and the emotions, and so we've had to balance out our out of control emotional body, so we can become happy. Because if you have out of control emotions, a person's not really happy until they can balance those emotions and move into the higher frequency. And so, which is the heart. And so this kind of corresponds with the fourth dimension that I believe we've been going through since 1987. And so now we just started, you know, moving into the fifth. And there's different levels of vibrations as you go through, you know, I think there might be probably nine different levels of like fourth dimension manifestations, and maybe nine different levels of fifth. I'm not positive about that, but I think that is. I know that the energy coming in from the galactic center is ninth level vibration. And so I think that the Earth right now is vibrating, since the earthquake, is vibrating to 9 hertz. And so this means that the people on Earth need to pull in the energy coming in from the galactic center and from the fire wave coming in from way out there somewhere, coming in from the source, actually, is what I've heard. And so to balance this energy, so that because we are connected to the Earth, we live on the Earth, and if the Earth is vibrating to 9 hertz, then we need to vibrate to 9 hertz. And this is why I think a friend told me that people's are vibrating at a different frequency, you know, and their chakras are off because they haven't been able to balance to the 9th hertz. And so that could be a good focus for the ones that are listening, you know, to concentrate on getting breathing in this salmon color light, getting your vibration up to the 9 hertz, and then balancing your chakras so that you can beat with the earth. And there is technically a new sound coming in from the earth right now. And this is, I got another video about that, and this is the monks in Tibet. In their caves, they have recorded a new sound, and this is the new heartbeat of Mother Earth. And so that's here right now as we speak, too. So there's a lot of things going on. And so it's much more important to focus, I think, on the positive things and to not focus on all the disasters and the fighting and everything that's going on, and to try to just stay peaceful and calm, and that will help the world more than anything else. Because if we become our own masters, you know, and vibrate, we'll be lights all over the world, holding the light so that the earth can ascend into a higher frequency.
Well, I've seen the transition of the earth right now with all the different planets and everything, and I mean, everybody's feeling kind of uptight. I mean, the planets are really jiggling people's emotions.
Oh, they very definitely are. Very definitely.
Yeah, I mean, people are going, oh, my gosh, you know, this is like, hey, they know something is different. Let's put it that way. Because these people, and I feel it, too. It's like you're normally, that's not your normal self. So whatever is happening out there, there's some energy that's being transferred back and forth all over the earth. I mean, you can't help it. I mean, one end, like Japan, is shaking like crazy, and
right.
and all the vibrations and everything. Everybody's feeling all these emotions.
Right. It's like going through a birth. All women that have had children know what it's like to go through a birthing process.
Yeah.
It's not easy. Well, but I think that it's particularly strong right now because of Mars being in Aries. You know,
yeah, I mean,
and it takes over a
Mars
month.
Is war. Yeah, Mars is a war energy, and Aries is a ram energy. So it's like, oh, my gosh, you know, yeah, people are really feeling this in their body. And I guess if you realize, if you just stop and think, wow, this isn't my normal feelings. What is really happening? Our planet is really shaking us up, you know, literally.
It definitely is.
Yeah.
Very, very definitely. I have to give the Japanese really credit because they are handling their disaster so calmly, as calm as you could be in that predicament. And oh, I agree. I've been totally amazed at that, you know. Well, the Japanese people are pretty calm, you know, I mean, to start with, you know. Well, they have the Japanese culture and they meditate and you know, they do all those things, you know, and so like us in America are just so hyper because we've been hyper. I mean, that's just the way we are. And then over in the East, you know, they do the meditation and stuff like that. And so this is really, really, really the time, if you can settle your body down enough and your mind and your emotions to meditate, you know, that would be one of the fastest way, I think, to get into your higher, you know, into your heart chakra, because you have to calm yourself. And I know different people are starting to take yoga, you know, and along with yoga, it's a science of, you know, not only your body, but your mind and the control of your mind and emotions. And then a lot of them do meditations along with their yoga. And so, and that's like a Japanese art, you know. And so they've been trained in that for a long time. And so it has really paid off in order for, you know, for them to go through this major event that they've had to go through and to stay centered.
Mm-hmm.
So it's teaching that in itself is teaching the world, you know, a lot of things.
There are teachers, right?
Yes, yeah. And I think that we should be very, very thankful to Japan for being the place where Mother Earth decided to birth. You know, and that might be why she chose that place to open up her, you know, to the new energy coming out for the new age.
Well, I was going to say, all these beautiful gardens and everything in Japan, I'm going, oh, my gosh. You know, it's just, they just enjoy nature so much, and it's so beautiful, you know.
Uh-huh. Oh, yes, I've always liked the Japanese gardens.
Yeah.
You know, and the little bonsai trees that they have, and the gorgeous flowers. And actually, I've always liked the Japanese culture.
Yeah.
Well, the East represents beginning, so they're the beginning of the East. So they're the beginning, a new beginning.
Uh huh. Yeah. So we have some very exciting times coming ahead, and I did run off a chart for that. We've got the full moon coming up, you know, on April 17th. And let's see what I do with that chart here. I thought it was right here in front of me. Oh, here it is, full moon. Okay, this is really powerful too. And this of course focuses into exactly into North Africa, you know. And so because Mars will be opposing Saturn at this full moon. And so there might be like a climax coming up with the fighting and stuff that's going on, because there's the power struggles and the anger and the military conflicts, and that's what this full moon is coming up to, and light focused over the North Africa and the Middle East. And so usually when like a planet, Mars will be exactly opposing Saturn. This will be on 12 degrees Aries and Libra. And so when it comes to the exact, it's usually like it's been building up to it until it comes to exact, and then there can be a changing point. And so being that this happens, you know, like right before Passover and right before Easter, we might see some kind of an event over there that might just change. It might surprise everyone. I don't know. I wish I knew exactly what that might be, but I don't. So
is it a good change?
Well, I think it would be, because it's been, you know, like the Jupiter's been fighting Saturn, and you know, that's gone on for a long time, and then Saturn's been exactly over, Saturn was exactly over Libya, you know, when it started, and exactly over Tripoli, you know, and then it affects the whole surrounding area when a planet is somewhere. And so now that it's building up and the planets are moving off, so with Mars being on the 12 degrees Saturn in exact opposition, then that will start moving off, and so the energy will start moving away from that. And then Jupiter is up to 19 degrees Aries. And, this is another thing. Oh, I just saw this. Because the sun is exalted on 19 degrees Aries, and this is a point, and it's on every planet of the solar system, is there's a major vortex that connects us with each other is on 19.5 degrees. And so with Jupiter, man, that's a big planet, on 19.5, on the full moon, upcoming full moon, Jupiter's usually a benevolent planet. So there's another aspect coming up with this full moon.
Mahala, we've got about 1 minute left, and let me give you a website out, okay? We've been talking with Mahala Gale, and her website is www.alcseattle.com.
I don't use that website that much anymore. Everything goes on my blog.
Okay, tell me what you need.
Which is www.mahalasastrology.com.
Okay, good.
So Mahala is M-A-H-A-L-A and then S,
and then astrology.com. Yeah.
Astrology.
And so there's lots of interesting information on there, and other people put their articles up on it too.
Oh, good.
And then there's
right.
videos and stuff like that.
Well, you know what? It's always such a joy to have you with us. And
thank you for
taking out this spot of time for us. And we send lots of love to you and all our listeners.
And to the planet.
And to the planet.
Yes, definitely. Yeah.
Oh, God bless you all.
And
okay,
to ourselves.
Yes.
And to ourselves.
Remember the salmon light.
Yes,
right.
Definitely.
Right.
And
thank
to
you,
worship the God within. Find the God within and then send love to that.
Thank you so much.
And thank you for asking me.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.